This segment of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by Bike Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Monday immediately following, well, except for that pesky little dead air after talking markets with Mark and Andrew. It's the second half of the financial power block that has come to be known here on Mondays on WWPR. 405, you start out with talking markets with Mark and Andrew, and then you follow it up right after the news with the Henry Rain Show, which is your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And what do we have this week? Well, surging Bitcoin. Well, then it dropped $500 in 7 minutes. Was there manipulation in the futures market? We'll take a look at that. A bill to exempt personal cryptocurrency transactions from taxation for capital gains is reintroduced in Congress. And that's foreshadowing next week's show when crypto tax man Josh Sands will be with us. Of course, that's just getting reintroduced. That's not fact yet, but Josh Sands, when he comes next Monday, it will be facts that you need to know for your cryptocurrency tax reporting. For the 2019 tax year, the hash rate of Bitcoin network hits another new all-time high, and a well-known gold bug, but not the gold bug one. And renowned Bitcoin skeptic, also not the gold bug one, Peter Schiff claims his crypto wallet was corrupted and lost his Bitcoin. I hate it when that happens. Twitter erupts in response. And helping us out on this, as he has every week, and he also has a surprise coming that we're going to find out about in just a second. And Pavlov would be proud when I play that music and you see how the person next to me responds. He is looking for that microphone right away.
Good afternoon, Henry.
Yes. Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug One.
Yeah. Old Peter Schiff, man.
Yeah. And
he's got to be like one of the worst analysts out there. I mean, the guy was calling for, what was it, 5,000 gold in 2012, within a year or two. It was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be within a year or two, it's going to be 5,000 gold. Everything's going to, the world economy, he's one of those apocalyptic, you know, you better own gold, silver, and lead kind of guys. His wallet forgot his password.
Do you consider yourself, this is going to say, well, why is he asking me this?
Yeah.
But it all ties into what does Peter Thiel, do you consider yourself a baby boomer?
I'm like right on the cusp.
You're like the tail end of the baby boomer.
Yeah, I'm actually a couple years above. I'm a Generation Xer. I'm Gen Xer. 69.
Okay. What's baby boomer?
65.
Okay.
65, 68, somewhere
67
in there. 67, okay, so I'm a tail end of it.
Because I'm the peak, I'm 57.
Okay.
And Peter Thiel generated a lot of boomer hate on Twitter.
Oh, did he?
And you
Peter
can
Thiel
yourself
or Peter Schiff?
A Peter Schiff.
Okay.
Not Peter Thiel. That's the other guy.
That's the other guy.
He's got enough money, he doesn't generate hate.
He
generates love.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, there's enough boomer hate to go around for you 1969 birthday boy.
The 69ers.
And I found out, this is all tying in, because we're running, for people that haven't listened in the last few weeks, the Henry Rain Show is a little abbreviated on Mondays for the next several weeks as I take a course at the local college.
On hash rate.
Well, not too far off from that. But I also found out what them young people say about boomers where they don't know the boomer is reading the comments. Not boomer individually me, boomers individually as a class of people, which I found out, I now realize, that boomer is a shorthand for those stupid old mother people. Anyway, but
we get a translation on that.
This person, he's no boomer, and they're not talking about him. But we haven't heard from him lately. But we are now. He's not a boomer, but he may be crazy. That is Augie. Hi, Augie.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good afternoon, Doggy.
Hey, Eddie.
And we've got.
You're sounding good.
He sounds good, but that volume issue is still there with the phone. But so just turn it up internally in your larynx there while you can. All right, we got to get into.
How is that? How is that level right there? Any better or not?
Not really. let me go back to something I needed to ask Andrew, Andy, about. So anyway, with the abbreviated version, you got a surprise coming up for people now.
That's right.
Around 5:40, just a half hour from now.
We're going to do a 20-minute extension of the Talking Markets Henry Rain Show.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so we're going to be on for another 20 minutes there. Bonus segment.
Are you going to be doing, because I'm not going to be here, are you going to be doing a monologue? Or are you going to be...
No.
With Mark?
Yep, Mark's coming back into the studio, so to speak, and we're going to be doing that.
I see. All right, well, we better get into the stories of the day, and there are a few of them. In fact, if we have time, we may get to the latest news on surveillance, which means... Actually, I may force that story on because surveillance has taken a great leap forward, a small leap for mankind, but a great leap forward for a company that is ready to help law enforcement know exactly what you're doing whenever you're doing it. I tell you, I've got news for you. And also, news for you is the Bradenton, Sarasota Bitcoin Meetup is back. And it's back this coming Saturday, the 25th of January, at Manatee County, South County Library. So come on down at 1 o'clock for the Bradenton, Sarasota Bitcoin Meetup, Manatee County, South County Library, 26th Street, Bayshore Gardens Parkway. It's just off US 41, just a little bit north of the Sarasota County line. The best we can do for getting you... meeting up with Bitcoin people. All right. So, but the big news. When we last spoke to you. Actually, Bitcoin was lower priced than it is right now. But in between that time, I thought we were all getting rich. Well, we'll try. You live on the air.
I'm calling you on another phone. Is that any better?
Oh, we'll go with it. Let's try.
There we go.
We've upgraded the Packard Bell. We should upgrade the phone system.
That's right.
Next. All right. So anyway, we were just breaking out of 8,100 a week ago. It seems like months ago.
Yeah.
And we ran all the way up to 9,200. I had the words of Mark Principato of Talking Markets fame saying, we might just blow through 9,500. And I was like, yes. And then... I went to sleep. Oh, and I didn't go to sleep that early either. I was having trouble sleeping. I was so excited. It was like I had my laptop turned on, but I have it turned away from me.
You don't get the blue screen.
No, because you never know who's hacked into your webcam there on your laptop. So I don't want them watching me when I'm sleeping. They can look the sidewall of my bedroom.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I got it angled just a little bit because I can see the real-time graph going up and down, and periodically when I wake up, I'm pretty sure this doesn't have a thing to do with my lack of sleep. But It is there, if I need to look at it. And everything was fine. In fact, it looked like it was even going to go higher. I thought I could fall asleep. And then, next thing you know, bang, $700, down to $8,400. And it came back up to, right around $8,600.
Pulled right back above that $8,600 level.
Yeah.
Key technical level there.
Yeah, so I wasn't too disturbed because it has been going sideways right in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the strange thing about it now. You and Mark tell us all these technical things about the charting, but it seems unusually narrow, this trading range that it's been in the past.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I think there's a lot more.
$20 wide.
Yeah.
What percentage of $8,000 is $20? So I know Augie wasn't losing sleep over the price of Bitcoin.
No,
no, I wasn't.
But
what's the story on blockchain itself?
Well, I don't know. So anyway,
you don't know.
I'm still on my story here on the rundown. And so one of the things, first thing that came to my mind was, is this another BitMEX futures manipulation?
Ah.
And I started looking around for that, and I won't rehash all that, no pun intended. But you go to SeekingCryptos.com. We talked about it. I think Mark and I talked about it on one show. Andy and I have talked about it on a couple of my shows. But it wasn't BitMEX, but coincidentally, coincidence is not necessarily casual, but it is sure coincidental. At the exact time between 11 and 11:10 UTC time, someone shorted $101 million of Bitcoin on the Deribit futures market, which has now become a more vibrant, a more liquid market than BACT or the CME or BitMEX, mainly because, as far as I can tell, with their index, they don't use these little eclectic, small country, Liechtenstein-size, Luxembourg-size countries exchanges to, and then give them extra weight to where they can be manipulating the index. But anyway, that is coincidental. Don't know if that was the spark that caused the...
Someone dumped $100 million. No, this is a futures contract.
Notional value is $101 million. I don't know what margin they were using, and that's one of the points in this article that I'm looking at, is that, they don't know.
What do they allow you to trade up to, 500 to 1?
I think 100 to 1.
100 to 1.
So. Yeah. But, might have been a conservative 50 to 1. Anyway, so before we move on to the next story, which Augie will probably have more insight into, what is your analysis of where we're going with this?
Well, if it was just a futures contract, it may have squeamished the market, but it has absolutely no relevance to the regular price. It's like, I don't take much into the futures.
Well,
market.
You can cause a lot of
you
stops.
You can cause a lot of,
if you know the other side of the market is in opposition to where you're placing that, they were shorting Bitcoin, so they you would think that if there were a lot of longs on the other side, that is a motivational reason to short the market, and then it will have a cascading effect for the next 7 minutes.
Well, I was going to say, what's mostly amazing is $100 million, even if it was $100 million, they all got absorbed right back up. It was bought right back up. And actually, we're getting a long signal here.
Well, I think, is it more that you're trying to say we would have gone lower? Because it hit 8,400, came back up to 8,600.
Yeah,
but you're
just
still down, 5%.
That means, a lot of times you'll see, it could have been just something to spook the market, because that's probably what happens. You got a lot of bot traders that are tracking this stuff, and then you also have a lot of Twitter feeds and that, and people, someone just sold $100 million. People get scared, and they think it's a whale, and they sell right into the whale that's buying. So he could have done that to trigger, like you're saying, some long stops, and have buy orders down there.
He could have been buying more than he was
shorting. Buying more than he was shorting, and boom, boom, boom,
Well, a couple other things that happened in the last week that they say elevated the price of Bitcoin before this and would have made it prime to short is that the announcement by Russian President Putin about the reorganization of the Russian government, they said, sent wealthy Russians into the Bitcoin market. so which might have elevated it higher than it was really ready to go yet. So that's one thing. Or, you know, people just looked at the global situation and weren't trying to trim back and take some profits on what had happened over the last couple of weeks.
Sure.
Next story. And we'll go to Augie with this one. Bill seeking to exempt personal cryptocurrency transactions from taxation for capital gains has been reintroduced in Congress in the United States. A slight change this time around. It's called the Virtual Currency Tax Fairness Act of 2020. Anyway, it would establish the exemption for virtual currency expenditures that qualify for personal transactions. Users would not have to report instances when they spent crypto whose value had changed $200. The previous introduction of this bill was for a $600 transaction. The newly reintroduced bill would exempt them from reporting duty as long as the gains involved are under $200. The earlier version of this bill put the number at $200. I have my questions if this is actually reported right, because I thought because that still requires you to calculate your capital gains, whether you have to pay tax on it or not. I think it's the de minimis amount. It was supposed to be $600 in the old bill that we had talked about quite a few times, and $200 could be a thing that moves it forward. I don't know.
Well, I think what you're saying is you could spend up to $600 as long as, you know, not have to claim it, as long as you did not make more than $200 on that $600.
Well, would have been the old bill. The new bill is the $200 is the cap. So you can't make if you spend $199 of Bitcoin, you couldn't have made $200 of Bitcoin, so you don't have to report it. Aye, any of this moving you to get your feet wet into Bitcoin finally?
Well, the thing that I read, and it's in your rundown, is the business of the blockchain and how that's affecting and the matter of trust. And your assurance coming on the show is all about people trusting ATMs and Bitcoin exchange machines in the same vein and the same circumstance. I just went to an ATM today and had to put an umbrella over my head in order to read the damn thing. It was facing the sunlight and I couldn't see a thing. So the physical problems of transacting anything these days on these machines with things like sunlight blinding you as you try to use it is the kind of problem. But when you find that the blockchain itself is in question, that's my question. What then?
Well, we don't know that it's in question. I think you may have read farther ahead than I am right now, and you might be looking at Peter Schiff's story.
Yeah.
So let's keep this moving then so we can get to that.
Don't listen to Peter Schiff.
The mean hash rate of Bitcoin network set another new all-time high. Seems like every week or every other week Andy and I are here, and we're saying it's got a new all-time high. Basically just pointing this out again this week because it reached 119 quintillion hashes per second, which sounds like a big number to me. I mean, even if you're counting in pennies, quintillion's a lot. Anyway, the computing power miners are using to validate the Bitcoin blockchain. More power, the more notionally secure the blockchain is. And it also is noted that because it's successfully doing this, the difficulty level of mining the blockchain, the Bitcoin blockchain, is increasing also, and it's scheduled to go up. Well, last week it went up 6%, and in another 9 days, the difficulty level is supposed to go up another 6-7%, which all means that the network is healthy, as opposed to, let's say, the Bitcoin Cash SV network, which it seems to be totally controlled by allies of Professor Dr. Craig Wright. And
run off three Hewlett-Packard, Packard Bell.
who can mine it and do wash trading at the same time.
Absolutely.
On the extra Commodore 64 in their back room. So moving on here to another story that maybe I'm sure this is going to pique Augie's interest. Former Communities Future Trading Commissioner Chairman had to find a job, and J. Christopher Giancarlo teamed up with his comrade in arms from the CFTC, Commodities Futures Trading Commission, the lab director, Daniel Gorfine, one of those pronunciations, and investor Charles Giancarlo. Huh. I wonder if there's any relation between Christopher Giancarlo, former CFTC chairman, and investor Charles Giancarlo. Probably just one of those coincidences. Anyway, they want to take the dollar digital, and they're not waiting for the Federal Reserve. Well, that sounds like pretty much a half a dozen other operations, only ones that don't have former chairs of the Commodities Futures and Trading Commission. They're forming the Digital Dollar Foundation, working with Accenture, that's a company, to design and push for a U.S. central bank digital currency. So it sounds to me, rather than do a stable coin like Gemini or Paxos or one of those, they want to be in the mix on helping the Fed create a digital dollar. The new not-for-profit organization has a multi-part plan to first create potential designs and proposals. As I just said, they're gonna put up the... They're going to float those balloons. They're going to fly that flag up the mast pole and do other things. They're going to convene economists, lawyers, academics, technologists, and others to evaluate these designs. Well, where would former chairman Giancarlo ever find these contacts?
I have no idea.
Yes. Well, that's why I had to get the lab guy in there for the engineering part of that. Anyway, create a framework for testing the new system, all with the goal of making dollar transactions as seamless as a text message. Now, this is from CoinDesk. And I have to say, if you've ever had autocorrect on your text messaging send something that you didn't want to send, it's not as seamless. That isn't the goal that I want to aspire to. I've seen some of Augie's texts.
Oh, you don't want to talk about those.
Right. And, but I don't want that technology transferring my dollars.
Well, I don't talk to my machine. I fumble through it, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, the former officials called for using a blockchain platform to support the digital dollar in an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal. Well, isn't there interesting coincidence that Giancarlo would be able to get an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal?
Imagine.
Yeah. When was the last time you had
all the time they call me daily.
Yeah, you're too busy. Well, you do it for profit, though.
Yeah.
You should license out your Seeking Crypto stuff to them. Say, next time they call you, say, hey, buy the corporate membership. We'll give you fair use rights to the articles. Just be sure you link back to us. Anyway, Wall Street Journal, a non-governmental group, would... Wait a minute. Essentially, a non-governmental group would run the project with support from the Federal Reserve and other stakeholders.
That sounds like it's going back to the original central bank, which was supposed to be non...
Well, technically, the Federal Reserve isn't governmental. It's quasi-governmental.
Yeah.
But, gee, I wonder where former Chairman Giancarlo would find anybody qualified to run an operation
this. Is it forthcoming?
Well, once you do all the few more Wall Street Journal editorials, and then you appear on CNBC a few times, and then you go before Congress, and then you get Jerome Powell in your on your side, and then you
allegedly
create your non-governmental group, and J.P. Morgan would be proud of you. I'm talking about the individual, not the bank. An analog reserve currency does not serve modern users. Oh, an analog reserve currency. I forgot the dollars in my pocket were analog. I thought they were paper. That's right, they upgraded them. Okay. Quoting Giancarlo, a digital dollar would help future-proof the greenback. What's future-proof?
More secure in the future.
Sure. And allow individuals and global enterprise to make payments in dollar irrespective of space and time. How will they ever fund this non-governmental
group? So I can go back and
buy
Beyond Meat at $60.
Yeah. If it's so efficient, how will this non-governmental group support itself? It's a puzzle. The proposed digital dollar would be tokenized form of the U.S. currency, which is we're privatizing the dollar now with this non-governmental group. It's called Bankscript, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, Accenture will act as the chief architect and technology partner on the project. Well, I wonder who they knew. I guess I know the answer to that. Giancarlo said Accenture has worked with a number of central banks, including the Bank of Canada, the Monetary Authority of Singapore, the European Central Bank, and also the Sweden's Riksbank on designing the e-krona. Now, I thought the Swiss used francs.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, it's a Swiss.
What's a krona, Augie? Do you know?
That's a Norwegian or Swedish coin.
Oh. Oh, well, that would make sense. This is Sweden. I was thinking Sweden, Switzerland, and transposing them in my misfiring brain.
It's a Swiss franc.
Yes. Well, I said Swiss franc, but I was reading
franc.
Sweden and thinking Switzerland.
But does Sweden have their own? They still have their own currency?
Well, they said the krona.
Okay.
That's why we got Augie to fact check them.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And so anyway, now this is all in the background. We have that former Bank of London head that said we need to get rid of the dollar as the global reserve currency.
Oh, there's a fight going on.
It's not going to happen.
Well, it better not.
Well, Peter Schiff, by the way, was calling for
I wasn't born into the baby boom generation to have that currency, global reserve currency, taken away from my
That's
generation.
Right. Peter Schiff actually calling for financial collapse of the dollar. I'm thinking to myself, how can the dollar collapse? What currency, if you were to hold any currency, would you hold other than the dollar?
You wouldn't hold any, Andy, but the point of a liquidity trap is perhaps around the corner, and that's what Japan has been in for several years.
Yeah, it is.
Explain the liquidity trap.
Well, when you get to a point where there's no return on your money, in terms of, bank pays you nothing, not 1%, maybe even less than that. And the Japanese have been going through this thing for some time. And so people then sit on money hoping that they can get out. It's a deflationary system.
All right. Well, Peter Schiff, who advocates gold, isn't that one of his things that he says?
He sells gold, yeah. He sells gold.
That's the only other way out, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he is in the news. And I just want to take a quick look and see if we've collapsed Bitcoin while we're talking about it here. And if you're listening in real time, and I can reassure you. All right.
87.
Yes.
Well,
we see who's got some stroke in Bitcoin world.
That's right.
And, Deribit, you can know where you take your notional futures and put them. We got the WWPR financial power block is on the
That's
air
right
now.
87.20, up 100 bucks.
Yeah. Actually, it's a little more than 100 because it was below 8,600 part of the time when we were talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice move. I said that this is looking like a long.
Boomers and Generation X rule.
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
Peter Schiff, though. I mean, this guy is,
let's get the background here. Try and do this fast. He's a libertarian economist, a gold bug, in quotes, renowned Bitcoin skeptic, and he tweeted. He tweets, too.
Yeah.
He's a Twitterer. I just lost all the hashtag Bitcoin I've ever owned. My wallet got corrupted somehow, and my password is no longer valid. This is why they never should have put allowed more than 140 characters.
Yeah.
So now, not only is my Bitcoin intrinsically worthless, it has no market value either. I knew owning Bitcoin was a bad idea. I just never realized it was this bad.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, I sense some bias.
Anyway. I mean, how do you lose? The computer doesn't forget your password.
Well, and so if you have a hardware wallet, you're going to have a password to get into the wallet.
Yeah.
But I think you also have to have a private key that releases the Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So I don't... Oh, anyway.
I actually responded to this to his Twitter. I actually responded to that.
You did? What did you say?
Yeah, he said, I said, your Bitcoin's not intrinsically worthless. I said, however, your calls are.
Did he respond back to you yet?
No.
He's got a, he's probably a backlog on the responses.
He's just, you know, and you got to be, some of these guys that, you know, the Jim Wileys and Eric Sprotts. I mean, just gold, 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 gold's the only thing. And, I mean, I love gold. But, you know, I mean, the reality is U.S. dollar's not going anywhere anytime soon. Right.
Well, he continued in his tweet storm. So much fake news about how I forgot my wallet password. Can't Bitcoin, hashtag Bitcoin pumpers, be honest about anything? I was very clear that I didn't forget my password. My wallet no longer recognizes my correct password. Oh, if I had about 100 Bitcoin for every time I've heard that.
Yeah.
Plus, what's up with over 3,000 people liking that I lost my Bitcoin?
Because we think you're a schmuck.
Yeah, only 3,000. Bitcoin Twitter has shrunk.
Yeah, actually, he's got a tremendous following.
Anthony Pompliano, co-founder and partner at Morgan Creek Digital, publicly reacted, saying, software that just executes the commands that humans give it. It can't forget anything. Email me, and I'll try and help you recover the lost Bitcoin. Schiff responded by saying that Eric Voorhees, chief executive officer and founder of cryptocurrency exchange Shapeshift, quote, set up the wallet for me, and he even thinks there is nothing I can do, but you're welcome to try if you have any ideas, Schiff added. Well, now you've brought Eric Voorhees into it.
Yeah.
And he had a response. He wrote that Schiff, quote, forgot password and never recorded his recovery phrase, which is a recovery phrase, seed phrase, or a mnemonic phrase that is used to recover the private key in case it gets lost. Quote, if I gave him an ounce of gold and he dropped it on the sidewalk, would he similarly condemn the precious metal as a foolish monetary system? For he's added, touche. Separate tweet, financial sovereignty. It's not for everyone. And
he pretty much summed it right on up there.
Let's see, CZ, the owner of Binance, said, you know, maybe you should keep it on an exchange.
Yeah.
Like Binance.
Yeah.
And then the creator of Ethereum, Victor Vitalkin, I stumble over his word, his pronunciation. Vitalik
Buterin.
Yes, excuse me. That made me seem even more ignorant than I am. Anyway, he criticized Schiff for being careless, but said we should be focusing on the fact that wallet technology needs to be improved. Well,
he said to make it easier for dumb people like Schiff.
You're dumb as Schiff.
Are you telling me that he doesn't know Schiff?
Yeah.
Or his password.
Never trust a guy with the name of Schiff.
You know,
it's just a couple letters short of Shifty.
Well, be careful now.
I always tell people, until you get some real value, or until you feel confident, just keep it on the exchange because their controls are probably better than yours. If you're not on some overseas exchange, if you're on a U.S. exchange of any kind of repute, but now, full disclosure, when we were running up Bitcoin this year to pass the 10,000 mark, I did go to my local bank, where I've had an account, bank account for decades, really, and inquired about safe deposit boxes so that I would take some of that Bitcoin and put it onto a hardware wallet and put it in the safe deposit box. But I guess luckily Bitcoin's price went down, and I didn't have that worry anymore. Augie, we've got a surprise coming up here. Andy is going to do the addendum to the Talking Market Show. So I have to get off the air here. I'm going to play some commercials. Thanks for calling in and adding your voice to the mix.
Well, I was going to ask Andy about the markets a little bit, so I'll stay a little longer and do that. How's that?
Well, I'm going to do what I have to do. So you You stay there, and we'll get back. One of us will get back to you here. Hold on. All right, so I want to thank everybody for listening in. We'll have to hear about the boomer hate that I was a witness to that Peter Schiff started. And we will get to all that and more in next week's show. But stay tuned for the do we have a name for this? Talking Markets Addendum? Talking Markets Unplugged? Talking Markets Uncensored?
I like that. Talking Markets Unplugged.
Okay. It's coming up after this break. You listen to The Henry Raines Show.